Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Maroon Friday edition of The Yard. We might be a little abbreviated today. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, it's been a busy day already. You know, slept a little bit later than normal too, but I'm entitled. It's Friday. It's game day eve. We'll be back at Davis Wade Stadium to wrap up a 3-game homestand against UMass tomorrow. Hope you can make it out. 3:15 is your kick. The game will be televised on the SEC Network and, of course, through the ESPN app. You can hear the official Bulldog radio call through the regular radio affiliates and the Varsity app. Mississippi State, a considerable favorite in the game. And you feel like I do. I just want to win the game. Okay, I don't want to win 10-9, but I just want to get a win. I want to know what that feels like again for a little bit. We've lost 7 games in a row. If we don't cover, I don't care. I just want to win and look like we know what we're doing and get out of there without getting anybody hurt. A lot of response to a couple shows this week, and I appreciate the feedback. But a lot of you feel like I do. You know, it's just like, hey, we don't have a lot of choice. That doesn't mean we're not going to talk about it every now and again either. And that's perfectly okay. You know, again, as I say, it all comes from a good place. When people stop caring, that's when you got to get worried. Because when apathy sets in, you know, that's never a good thing. You know, it's kind of like they say, you know, the opposite of love is not truly hate, it's indifference. Because you have some level of passion even for the things that you hate. You may not like them, but there is still some emotional investment in that. And so we don't need to get indifferent, and there's no reason to get indifferent, even though it's been a very disappointing year. So appreciate your feedback, and also to appreciate all the books. For those of you that have ordered online from the DutyNobleBook.com website, your orders are in the mail, other than I think 3. And we had 3. We had some personalization issues. And so I'm going to sign those tomorrow. They'll get them out in the mail to you on Monday. Now, we're at a point now we're officially caught up, right? Now, I don't handle shipping. Some of you, you see my name on the book. And that's one of the things that I share with the publisher. Anything that goes wrong finds its way to my inbox because it's my name on the book, right? So if you have any difficulties, go to DutyNobleBook.com. Hit the contact us link. They've been pretty good about getting back with you guys in a timely manner. If you have your order number, that helps. But you can rest assured, if you've ordered, unless you're one of like 3 people that need a personalization, your book's in the mail, okay? So give it a couple days, a few days. They've been doing really good too. And I can't say enough great things about the Madison Post Office. That's kind of been the point of distribution. We've had some different experiences with other post offices around the state. And so things are being shipped out of Madison. And what's incredible, we had a book that shipped out on Monday, and then somebody got it in Texas on Tuesday. Yeah, it's a great job by the U.S. Postal Service, because I'm the first to complain when things aren't as they should be, and oftentimes they are not as they should be, but they've done a good job. But hey, with thousands of books going out in the mail, you can expect there to be a problem or two. And so if there is, contact us. We'll get it taken care of for you, right? Now, if you order now, good chance that your order is going to be out in the mail on Monday. Yeah, because they are now officially caught up. Officially caught up. And, of course, I'm going to get back down there and send some more books because online orders are continuing to come in at a very rapid pace. There's been a lot of hype about the book. We're starting to get some reader reviews, and apparently you guys like it. And I don't know if you saw yesterday, Book Martin Cafe, of course, our local bookstore here in Stark Vegas, released their top 10 list from last week, their bestsellers of last week, the top seven of those books written by your good friend and host. It's incredible, man. Thank you guys so incredibly much, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so incredibly much. I work very hard on these books, and to see your faces when you come in, like you're all excited, and people have shared pictures on social media as they've gotten their books, that does a lot for me, man. I'm not going to lie. It does. And I'll be honest with you, man, we are busier than ever. And you'd say, man, Steve, you know, it's kind of a drag of a football season. Well, the job never changes for us, right? And we have tried to pick up a few other things, too. You know, I wrote a women's golf article earlier today, interviewed Charlie Ewing, the coach, Mississippi State women's golf, done an exceptional job, won the Southeastern Conference back this spring. Guess if we can't gear up and do it again this next spring. You can read that for free over jeanspage.com. And, of course, Mississippi State soccer will be leaving for Pensacola tomorrow. I'm told from our great friend Lance, who is a soccer SID, we may have an opportunity to have a call set up with Coach Armstrong and maybe a player or two in advance of Mississippi State's appearance in the SEC tournament. We'll talk more about that next week. But, yeah, it's football time, man. And we'll wrap up, too, in case you haven't forgotten, we'll wrap up fall baseball on Sunday against Arkansas State. Encourage you to come out and be a part of that. It's a 1 p.m. first pitch. 1 p.m. first pitch. If you're looking for me this weekend, from 10 to 1 Saturday morning, prior to the game with UMass, I'm going to be at I'm going to be at Campus Bookmart right off campus. So you can swing through there, get you a couple signed copies of the books, leave them in your car, and then head over to Davis Wade Stadium and cheer the Bulldogs on the victory. On Sunday, I will be at Bookmart and Cafe downtown from 11 to around 3. I got to get out of there and get the post game for Lamontas and some players, and we're looking forward to that. Kind of hearing Chris talk about, number one, the scrimmage against Arkansas State, but also two, wrapping up fall. And it's hard to believe, man, about 3 months we'll be getting ready to take the field, play college baseball. Got a lot of basketball to handle between now and then, though. Yeah, for sure. On Wednesday, I will be in Meridian at the Bulldog Shop. If you are familiar with Meridian or Lauderdale County, you know where that is. I'll be there from 11 to 1. So the Wednesday show, we'll see how things go. We'll have one. Maybe I record it Tuesday night. Maybe I record it Wednesday when I get back. We'll just have to see how things go. But, probably plan to do it Tuesday night. Probably that's the plan. So a lot of opportunities to see me here in the next week or so and get personalized and signed copies of books. And, I got a good friend that's written a lot of books, too. And he told me from the very beginning, when Flim Flam was coming out and book signings were getting set up, and I didn't know what to expect from all that stuff. You know, I'm just a small town boy from South Mississippi. He goes, man, the people that come to book signings are the people that love you the most. And I have found that to be the case. And I appreciate so much you guys that come, say hello, share a few words about the book and your excitement about it. It means a lot. It truly does. I'm not going to sit here and be proud about all that stuff. I'm a human being, too. You know, everybody needs to hear some positive affirmation every now and again. And my wife can tell you that my love language is absolutely power of affirmation. But I love the gifts and the physical touch and all that stuff, too, if you're familiar with that line of work. I'm an affirmation guy, and I give that to her a lot too. But thanks so much for your support. And again, go to dutynoblebook.com. All my sports titles are there too. And it's incredible when a new book comes out. It kind of revives the old catalog too. People are like, oh, I'm kind of getting behind. I need to pick these books up too. We've had a resurgence with Flim Flam sales too. And some of that, obviously, is because we're approaching the Christmas season, and some of you have that smart aleck old Miss brother-in-law that you want to give him that gift, and we're happy to personalize that for you. Traditionally, I write, may the truth set you free. Maybe. It's usually what I write. But anyway, thanks so much for your support. And remind you, too, if you're going to come to town this weekend to float, you need to go ahead and get on a schedule, 662-268-7601. Dana can get you handled. We're excited, as always. Hadn't been as busy this week. And a lot of that, too, is because people hadn't been coming to town because of things hadn't been quite as what we want. And that's the thing, too. Now that we are local vendors, right, I'm very sympathetic to what happens around our town. You know, when things are not going well, you guys don't visit, you don't eat at our restaurants, you don't stay at our hotels, you don't shop at our places, and sometimes you don't float, right? We've got a nice core group, obviously, of locals that float regularly, but if you're going to be in town and considering trying that, we're open till 10 o'clock every night, 7 days a week. True story. So 662-268-7601. And don't forget about True Rest when you begin to think about your gift buying ideas too. We sell packages. We're going to have some gift cards and things like that. So that's kind of a unique gift, maybe for a friend of yours that could use a break or use some relief. We're happy to help. That's True Rest of Starkville. All right, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company. I will have some Bulldog Burger Company probably on Sunday or Monday. I'm not sure how that's going to break out. It's going to be busy. But yeah, I love Bulldog Burger Company, and I love being able to do business with them and then kind of be an ambassador for them, because I like to associate with businesses and people of character and people that do a great job. You want to be associated with excellence every chance you get in life, and that's kind of how it feels to be an ambassador for Bulldog Burger Company. Amazing, amazing place to go eat. Go put your feet under their table. Let them take care of everything. Get those spring rolls as your appetizer. I'm telling you, on behalf of your friends and family, you need to add that because they make everybody around you better looking, including yourself. Let's all work together to make the world a more beautiful place. Eat more spring rolls and then get a great restaurant quality hamburger. I already know what I'm going to order. That's always a great feeling too. I'm going to have the Pimentology add bacon. It's been a while, but we're going to knock that out. I'm excited about it. Really, really excited about it. Might get the onion rings. We'll see how things go. The fries are great, too. There's always so many of them, too. It's like the portions are so substantial at Bulldog Burger Company. You know and I both know it's your kid's favorite place to go eat. So treat yourself, treat your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers to a great night out or a great lunch together at Bulldog Burger Company. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive here in Star Vegas. Gloucester Street there in Tupelo. Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Bulldog Burger Company. The place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. All right, let's jump into our weekend preview. Got a really cool top 10 list for you today, too. Super cool. Thought about this today. I was like, hey, I don't know when we'll have a chance to do this one. Let's do it. Okay, so brunch football. It's Ole Miss in Arkansas. Now, Ole Miss is favored by 7.5. Guys, I'm picking Arkansas. I'm picking Arkansas, and in the Gene's Page predictions, I picked Arkansas to cover. I think Arkansas might actually win this football game. Now, there's a few reasons why. Number one, have you looked and done your own research to see what Arkansas's record is at home against Ole Miss, even in the best of times? You remember that? Was it 14 when they – was it 14? It was 1 year Bo Wallace went out there and Arkansas beat him like 30-0. Let's take a look, Steve. Instead of us guessing, let's look here together. Arkansas leads the series 38-30-1. And that 30-0 ball game was in 14 in Fayetteville. But you start working back here. In 2022, you remember that game? Arkansas ran wild in that game, especially in the second half. They ran the football with great success. Arkansas also has the mobile quarterback. They had KJ Jefferson, too. And, you know, the only thing that kept that prevented a three-game winning streak for Ole Miss, for Arkansas in this series was in 21, KJ Jefferson overthrew a two-point conversion. I give Ole Miss credit for making plays, too. It's a 52-51 game. But that was the difference of the game. Incredible, right? But let's take a look. 2022, that's a good Ole Miss team. And Arkansas beat them 42-27. Go back to 2020. Not a great Ole Miss team. Not a great Arkansas team either. Arkansas wins 33-21. You got to go back to 18. Ole Miss wins 37-33. 16 34-30 winners in Fayetteville are Arkansas. And, of course, that 14 game went 30-0. Then they had a game in Little Rock, but Fayetteville 38-24 back in 2010. And so it has been basically one time in the last 15 years that Ole Miss has won in Fayetteville. Not great. And I don't like the matchup if I'm Ole Miss. because of the fact, number one, you have not been good offensively as of late, that Arkansas defense up front is good enough to get pressure. And I don't know if you realize this too, but Arkansas has kind of found something with Braylon Russell in their running game. They're going to run the football. Now, again, Braylon got a little bit banged up in the game against Mississippi State late. However, in the latest SEC availability report, he's not even listed as probable. He's playing. So he's not out. He's not questionable. He's not doubtful. He's not probable. He's not maybe. He's playing. And, Jalen Braxton has been out. Jaquindon Jackson was out last week. Kyle Ramsey was out. Really the only player they didn't have to play against us, or that maybe played against us, was Tevis Metcalf. And he's questionable. So basically the same roster that took the field last weekend against Mississippi State is expected to take the field against Ole Miss. And Ole Miss, again, a very lengthy report here. And again, to be honest with you, I think they're just being more comprehensive than everybody else. They got three players out, and they got Trey Harris is still questionable. Matt Jones is still questionable. Walter Nolan is probable. They got some problems on the offensive line, got some people banged up. That's kind of life and times in the SEC at this point. But, guys, I'm taking Arkansas. I'm taking Arkansas, and that's not me just being a hater. I think when you look at what Ole Miss has done offensively the last couple of weeks, it's not been great. You saw what happened at OSU. They had 2 weeks to think about that. Even go back the week before, only 27 points against South Carolina. The game was never in jeopardy, don't get me wrong, but it was kind of herky-jerky. The week before that, of course, 17 points against Kentucky. And so you start doing the math here. This is an Ole Miss team. Beginning of the year was putting up big numbers in non-conference. I've got it in the SEC play, and the sledding has been much tougher. And even last week, kind of an uninspired win over Oklahoma, 26-14. They were losing that ball game at the half, but to give them credit, they kind of picked it up. I don't think Arkansas is going to give you that same opportunity. And Arkansas is better offensively than Oklahoma. So we're going to take Arkansas to win and cover. Vanderbilt at Auburn. I thought long and hard about this one. Auburn is actually favored by 8 in this game. I don't know that Auburn covers. I picked Auburn to cover in the Jeans Page stuff, but the line is kind of expanded here. It's up to 8. But this could be an interesting game. And again, just when you think about the quality of the season so far, I think you'd have to say Vanderbilt certainly had the better year. Auburn's 3-5. 3-5. And you begin to think about this. If they don't win this one, they're probably not making a bowl game. Steve, how can you be so sure? Well, they'll beat Louisiana Monroe. Well, then you got Texas A&M, and then you got to go to Alabama. Would you pick Auburn against A&M and Alabama right now? No, you would not. And so you begin to kind of work through this thing here. You're 3-5. You got to get to 6-6. You got to win this game. You got to. Pretty crazy, man. I don't know if it's going to happen. I really don't. To keep their bowl of hopes alive, they got to win this game. I think Hugh Freeze and those guys will find a way to get it done. But it's so incredibly interesting when you start working through all this stuff and you start thinking about matchups and things like that. And Vanderbilt's got some guys that are banged up too, especially on the defensive line. Auburn wants to run the football. How great Hunter has been this year. And so I think Auburn is going to be able to run the football. And I think in the end that Vanderbilt's just going to have a little trouble taking it on the road. And again, I still think Vanderbilt, and a week ago I may have told you, I think Vanderbilt should beat Auburn. I think maybe their best chance to get the bowl game now is to that home game against South Carolina in 2 weeks. Yeah. You get Auburn on the road this week and then South Carolina at home. Not to mention, that game against Texas was very competitive, but also, too, a very physical game. And I just think Vandy may be due for one of those games, too, where, maybe things don't go quite as you hope. So we'll take Auburn. We're taking Auburn here. Maine is at Oklahoma. There's a part of me that's rooting for the Black Bears, to be honest with you. Their lone win against an SEC opponent is against us. I'd like that not to be an outlier anymore. No line on the game. But Oklahoma's going to win this game. It's a 1:30 kick. It's going to be on ESPN Plus. You can watch it at the tailgate if you're so inclined. I suspect that you won't. There'll be some better games being played at that time. But Maine at Oklahoma, we'll take Oklahoma big. Florida's at Georgia. Some intrigue about this. Georgia favored by 14.5. And I almost took Florida. Almost took Florida just because of the fact I thought, you know what? Georgia hadn't been great against the spread all year. And then I think about the fact that Kirby Smart is a Georgia Bulldog. And I look at the fact, too, Florida, that they got a lot of guys out. A lot of guys out. And, of course, Graham Mertz is out. You know, we'll see what happens with Lagway. He's had some big moments. Montrell Johnson, the lead running back, is questionable for the game, too. And I think as a result, that probably keeps things down a little bit. You know, Georgia's got a couple guys out for targeting. But by and large, they're pretty healthy. Anthony Evans is out. That's not great there. But the reality of it is that I think Georgia has a lot more talent than Florida. I know that Florida will be up to play this game. You know, currently 4-3. And again, you start thinking about, you know, what's left for them. It's four consecutive ranked opponents for Florida. The Georgia game in Jacksonville. Then you're at Texas. You host LSU. And then you host Ole Miss. Maybe Ole Miss may not be ranked by then. But, yeah, four teams that are certainly capable of beating Florida. And then you got to go to Florida State for the rivalry game. I just don't think it's going to work out for Billy Napier. And again, I don't know what Scott Strickland thinks. And, you know, with this new house settlement coming on, it may be a situation where people are like, you know what? Let's just ride it out for another year because we don't know how much money we're going to have. You know, I don't know how much the Bull Gators are willing to kind of cough up here to make a move here. But it's pretty clear that the bloom is off the rose there for Billy Napier. There's not any question about it. UMass at Mississippi State. I'll give my final thoughts to that in the final segment. Texas A&M at South Carolina. The first thing that I asked when we began to talk about this game is it a night game? Williams-Brice is electric at night. I mean, it truly is. They do a great job. Those fans, people forget, man, those first couple of years under Lou Holtz, they didn't win an SEC game. One year they went 0-11. They sold the stadium out every night. I wish we could be more like that. I mean, honest to goodness. I give those South Carolina people a lot of credit. But many of them, of course, are you know, kind of worried about the direction of their football program. You know, Ray Tanner is retiring, and you got to begin to wonder, with a new AD coming in that didn't hire Shane Beamer, who is he going to listen to? His football coach, or you know, these donors that maybe been waiting for this moment to say, hey, we need to make a change. And so you begin to wonder about that. You know, Shane's got to help himself. You know, a win over Texas A&M would do wonders. A&M's favored by 3 points on the road, again, in a difficult venue to play. But when I watched A&M in person, like you guys did, I thought, you know what? This team is not capable of doing great things. We, you know, we should have won this game. And then, you know, they go back to Marcell, a much more dynamic offense. We didn't see him against us. We saw Connor Wegman against us. And again, Connor Wegman tried to give us the game. We just wouldn't take it. They're ranked 10th in the country. I think they're somewhat precarious, but I think the running element of a dual threat quarterback could be the difference in this ballgame. So we're going to take A&M. No hot take there. I think A&M covers and wins. Kentucky's at Tennessee. Man, this line is huge. 17.5 points. And again, you look at what Tennessee has kind of done offensively. Again, I think most people would agree. You look up and they're 6-1, but you say, you know what? This offense is kind of underachieved. They had a chance. They should be 7-0. I'm sure it's what they'll tell you. They had a chance to make a play late to beat Arkansas and couldn't get it done. But they're just kind of clipping by people. And again, in SEC play, you expect the games to get a little more compressed. But the Oklahoma, I think we can agree, is not good. Well, they get them 25-15 in Norman. And at the time, it felt like a big deal. And again, beginning of the year, we talked about Oklahoma's probably a 6-6, 7-5 team. I think I picked them 7-5. And then you go to Arkansas, who was struggling a little bit, and they've kind of found something here as of late. You score 14 points. You beat Florida, but it's a 6-point game. And you beat Alabama, and yes, I get it's still Alabama, but it's a 7-point game. You know, so offensively, they have not been really, you know, as explosive as expected to be in SEC play. And Kentucky always seems to find a way, even though they can't play much well, they can't do much on offense, they make you play their game. They just kind of bog things down. Now, this game happens to be in Knoxville, Tennessee. We'll be up there soon. I hope some of you guys will come hang out with us. But, yeah, we're headed to Knoxville. We'll be at General Neyland Stadium, one of the great names in the history of the Southeastern Conference. Guy was also instrumental in helping Duty Noble find Alan McKean. If you read the dude, you'll read all about that. How cool is that? Never know where I'm going this show. A lot of cool stuff. But Tennessee leads the series 84-26, and Tennessee has won 3 years in a row. But, man, when you start looking back at this, like, okay, Kentucky absolutely ambushed Tennessee in 2020, 34-7. That was supposed to be a good Kentucky team. Yeah, you're never going to go back and look who was available and who's not. But, guys, they've got two wins over Tennessee in the last dozen years. The last two games have been, you know, really more in Tennessee's favor. Kentucky made it somewhat competitive last year, obviously, and Tennessee finds a way to get it done. But three wins in a row in the hype era, but they have put up points on Kentucky, 45, 44, and 33. I don't think Kentucky can score. And I think in the end, Tennessee is going to win, and I am going to pick them to cover. And I know that that's, again, that's a big number. I just don't think Kentucky, in a great road environment, in a night game, when Tennessee is ranked 10th in the country and moving towards something very important, they're going to be prepared. You're not sneaking up on them. It's not going to happen. So your winners, in my estimation, are pretty much going to be most of your home teams: Arkansas at home, Auburn at home, Oklahoma at home, Georgia on a neutral site, A&M on the road, and then Tennessee at home. So we think the home chalk is going to hold, and I will not be surprised if South Carolina makes that game crazy. I'm glad that line is not bigger than it is, just 3 points in favor of the Aggies. But I won't be the least bit surprised if you look up in the fourth quarter and South Carolina's right there with Texas A&M. I think you guys probably would agree with me. I mean, I just never know what to expect from South Carolina. They go into Lexington and kill those guys, and they don't show up against Ole Miss. You know, I mean, you just never know from week to the next how things are going to look. But, yeah, it should be a fun week. And, again, my final thoughts about UMass and Mississippi State will come at the end of the show. But, again, every week something weird happens. And that's one of the reasons we love this, right? If the best team on paper always won, there'd be no reason to watch. But there's always something that happens every single week. Maybe not on the level of Vanderbilt beating Alabama, but there has been a minor upset every single week of SEC play. You know, is it going to happen again this week? You know, could Florida beat Georgia? I just don't think so. But, man, that game, you never know what to expect in that game. Never. But I think the fact that Kirby Smart, you know, a Georgia guy, understands the importance of this game, has some bitter hatred for Florida. If he can get 100, he'll get 100. I just don't think they're capable of doing anything close to that. But I do think Georgia will pull away there in that second half. They do some things offensively that are they're rather interesting. They make you chase a lot on the perimeter. So Florida's had some athletes, but they've got some guys a little bit banged up. And, you know, they call this the world's largest cocktail party. I don't know who decided that. It's really not that cute, to be honest with you. But nevertheless, should be a good ball game. So, again, the thing that I always ask myself is, you know, which of these – if I had to say right now who would win that I'm projecting to lose, well, you go to Ole Miss, right? Because if when they're clicking, they're clicking. I just don't think it's a good matchup. I say the most likely to upset the apple cart, maybe Vanderbilt at Auburn. Just something about that – offensive Vanderbilt, they just typically find a way to get things done. But Auburn hasn't really struggled on defense. Their struggles have been on offense. And, of course, they turn the ball over a little bit too much for everybody's taste. But that's your schedule. And, well, of course, we'll take a look back at the weekend it was on Monday's show. But hopefully, you guys, if you were the kind that you know, put some skin in the game, I hope you have a great weekend. It's time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by CloseWithBlair.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Let me give you Blair's number. You're going to need it. It's 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. Blair's got 23 years of experience. Get that experience working for you. Blair knows how to construct loans to give you the best chance of approval through underwriting. It can be a very convoluted process. I mean, how many times have you applied for a mortgage in the past and they want a lock of you know, your kid's first haircut and a note from your mom and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, your hunter safety card. I mean, it's all kind of silly stuff they ask for. Blair can simplify things on the front end. Whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or perhaps a game day condo, your retirement home, Blair can assist you. Recently made the move to Priority One Mortgage, but the same level of service followed him. Blair is a Bulldog, a season ticket holder in multiple sports. So when you do business with Blair, you're keeping it in the family. A lot of people are going to compete for your mortgage business. Rather than take a chance and maybe perhaps get in a bad deal, work with Blair Chandler. Again, that's 601-500-2344. Okay, told you we had a cool top 10 list today. We do. We're playing UMass, right? So it's the Rock of Massachusetts. And man, some legendary bands on this list, right? Great, great. Some other bands maybe you're not quite as familiar with. And I had to kind of play with the order a little bit because the deeper I got into it, I was like, wait a minute, I can't have this band here. So we're going to start with a band that kind of grew to prominence on Sirius XM Octane. They are still kind of a support band out there. Phil Labonte is kind of the leader of the band. You can follow him on Twitter at Phil That Remains. For many of you, he'll match your politics. But the band is called All That Remains. I'm going back to my gateway track. I love this one. There's a breakdown on this. It really kind of gets me going. It's a song called 2 Weeks. 2 Weeks from All That Remains, your number 10 song today. Number 9, another band that I first discovered on Sirius XM Octane. And I love them. I love both versions of the band. They've kind of played musical chairs with the singing spot for a while. But we're going to go back a long time here. It's a band called Killswitch Engage. And I love these guys. We've done a top 10 list of these guys. And we're going to go with My Curse is number 9. My Curse from Killswitch Engage, number 9. Now, I'm going to tell you, too, that band is not for the meek, okay? If you're like, if you are an Air Supply fan, you and Killswitch Engage are not going to really, like, get along. It's not going to work out for you. I'm just telling you ahead of time. However, if you're a person that maybe has some, you know, some aggression in your life, or perhaps you liked music that rocks, Killswitch Engage, maybe exactly what you need. All right, number 8, a very influential band that kind of came to prominence in the mid-80s alternative rock scene. And I kind of struggle to call them a rock band. They're really just kind of alternative pop. I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but and there's not as much edge with the guitar. That said, this band was instrumental, and Kurt Cobain himself from Nirvana said that he tried to rip these guys off when he recorded Nevermind. His quote. We're talking about the Pixies. And I'm going to go with a pretty clever song called Here Comes Your Man. That's off the Doolittle album. I think you'll dig that one. And again, it's a little bit different too. But if you look out there, there's a lot of pictures out there, a lot of quotes from Kurt Cobain about the Pixies, about what a influence they were upon him. And they're a band that's out of Amherst, Massachusetts, man. Yeah, next thing you know, they're influencing grunge and one of the biggest selling grunge albums of all time. All right, a band you're not quite as familiar with. We've talked about them on the show before, and I love these guys. And I've said before, we should find a way to work this song into our playlist at Davis Wade Stadium. They used to be called Revelation Theory. Now people just call them Rev Theory. It's a track called Light It Up. The video was amazing too. A little bit of violence in it. It is. Okay, so don't judge me for that. But the song, the guitar on this is incredible. And the vocal is really good too. And I think under the right circumstances, I might be able to pull this song off. But I dig these guys. don't really know what they're doing as much now, but they were a while. They were really, really hot on Sirius XM Octane. I think if you listen to that album, that Light It Up album, I think you'll enjoy it. Great track on there, too, called Broken Bones. And they donated the proceeds of that to some child abuse organizations. So good folks. Number six, one of my favorite rock songs, probably of my lifetime. And this is a band that I didn't really like for a while, right? Because I'm a big Motley Crue guy. And Nikki Sixx, of course, put a band together called 6AM. And 6AM was touring at around the same time Godsmack was. And they had some festival appearances together. And Sully Erna from Godsmack and Nikki Sixx got at odds. And I'm a crew head for life. And so immediately, Godsmack was dead to me. They were. I eventually got over it. Godsmack, of course, kind of got their revenge and that kind of stuff. But everybody's cool now, so we can lay our arms down. But this is one of those songs, too, that I absolutely love. This is one of those songs that you can drive your car really fast and grit your teeth to. And to me, it's the best Godsmack song of all time. It's Keep Away. It's your number six track today, Keep Away from Godsmack. Number five, going back to the 80s, early 90s, this band didn't maybe have the edge as some of the other bands that are on our list today, but from a musical proficiency standpoint, it's hard to argue against Nuno Bettencourt, the guitarist from Extreme. On Porno Graffiti, their second album, great, great rendition of the Flight of the Bumblebee. I think you'll be blown away by that if you never heard it before. But we're going to go back to the beginning. If you've seen the Bill and Ted Excellent Adventure movie, and I encourage you, if you haven't, to watch that. I loved all the Bill and Ted movies. I loved the first two more. Bill and Ted 3 was good. It wasn't nearly as good as the first two, but it was kind of cool to see those guys back. But I loved Excellent Adventure. I talked about this on the show, and a good friend of mine nearly bought me the cardboard cutout. One of the things about the memorabilia of my life, I had this huge movie theater cardboard cutout of the promo of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. And then when I went to treatment, my mom and brother cleaned out my apartment and they threw that out. And I'm still a bit bitter about that. And a friend of mine said he almost bought it for me, but it was a little bit too expensive. But one of the highlights of that movie is the mall scene where everything kind of breaks down and Genghis Khan and Socrates, because it's Socrates, not Socrates, Socrates. And there was so many crazy things that happened in the mall, right? Joan of Arc goes crazy, and the soundtrack to that chaos was Extreme's Do You Want to Play? Love it, man, and the guitar on that is just phenomenal. Nuno, a legend. I don't know that he gets the respect that he deserves. Number four, a band that many of you are familiar because if you ever go to karaoke, there's always some good old boy that gets up and sings It's Been a While. We're talking about Stained, and I'm going back to the Gateway song for them, too. I love this song, and my wife used to say, why do you love it so much? I said, I just love the energy in this song. And she said, you know, it's an angry song. Why are you so angry? You know, I said, I can appreciate a song without it being a mirror into my soul, right? It's Mud Shovel. Love that track, man. Even now, man, there's some songs from that era, man. You put them on. They don't just take you back, they spring you forward. And this is one of them for me. You can't feel my anger, you know? I got nothing to do with me being angry. But at some point in life, life is frustrating. I'll be honest, yesterday wasn't a great day for your good friend and host. I mean, I won't say it's a bad day, but I didn't have a great day. Now, having a good day today, but yesterday is one of those days, man. I just kind of felt under the gun. You know, there's always something, right? There's always something. Right, and it's one thing that my dad told me years ago when I first went into multi-store management. He said, son, those days when you don't have people blowing you up because they need something and you don't have anything really going wrong, appreciate those days because they don't come around very often. You know, we got a big staff at Jeans Page. We got a big responsibility at Jeans Page. We got the show. Of course, we're running the float spa. Got a book tour. There are a lot of people pulling on your boy these days. And yesterday it kind of got to me, you know. And that's kind of how life works. And that doesn't mean that if I put on an aggressive song, that I'm going to go hurt somebody, including myself. Sometimes music can be very therapeutic. When you find a song that kind of fits your mood, you can listen to that. But it doesn't mean, you know, that the balance of my life is one of bitterness or resentment. But mud shovel, number four from Stained. Number three, and I think the final three we can all agree are probably the top three. We may disagree on the order. So number three is the Cars. And, of course, they were huge in the 80s. Everything was great in the 80s. Everything. Everything was great. The movies were great. The music was great. The girls wearing blue jeans were great. The fashion was great. The haircuts were great. The sunglasses were great. TV shows were great. Grateful to have grown up in the 80s to understand the greatness of that decade. But the Cars kind of listed as a rock band, but they were really, by that time, kind of a top 40 band. It kind of mellowed a little bit. You know, Rick Ocasek got married a supermodel. And that will tend to probably change your mood a little bit. But we're going to go with Let's Go from the Cars, number three. And I love love all the background noise in this. There's a lot of stuff to it. I love the nightlife too, baby. I do. Number two. Now, this is where it's going to get controversial, right? Because everybody's going to say this. There's going to be about half of you say this band should be number one, and the other half are going to say it should be number two. My number two band from Massachusetts, from the great state, is Boston. Now, one of the things that I'll say about Boston, one of the things that keeps them number two, is the catalog was not very lengthy. Now, that first album, incredible. Every song on that album sounded like a single. Sonically, it was at another level. You know, Brad Delp and those guys were incredible. Of course, there's been some controversy with the band in recent years. It was a suicide. It was some inappropriate behavior and things like that. But, you know, Boston is, again, took a huge, huge, huge piece of the soundtrack of our lives. But there really wasn't much. I mean, it's like you put out the first album and you come back with Don't Look Back, and then it takes like a decade to come out with Third Stage. And a lot of that's just because they just weren't happy with the sound. I get it. So we're going to go with More Than a Feeling. Number two, Boston. And number one, I think America's greatest rock band. Yes, it's the Pet Shop. No, it's not the Pet Shop Boys. Silly. It's Aerosmith. It's Aerosmith. And again, a very expansive catalog. They have called it quits in recent years, which, you know, it stinks. I'm so glad that I got to see them live a couple times in sobriety when they were at their best, I think. You know, there was two versions of Aerosmith, right? There was a 70s version that ended up, you know, as Steven Tyler says, you know, what happened to all your money? It went up my nose, you know. And then all of a sudden now, there has been a resurgence. You know, really, it really started around 87, 88 with Permanent Vacation. Of course, Done with Mirrors came out in 86. And it was just the first time the band had been back together. And really the best song on that album was a Joe Perry Project song called Let the Music Do the Talking. Then it was Permanent Vacation and then Pump. And, you know, the next thing you know, man, things are rolling for Aerosmith. And late 90s, early 2000s, and I still love that Nine Lives album. I don't care what anybody says. I love the album. But Steven Tyler, of course, you know, a legend. And what's interesting, too, he is the sponsor to one of my friends in rock music, the AANA sponsor for one of my friends. And that's kind of cool, too, you know, to have to be, you know, that one degree of separation. But I've been an Aerosmith fan my entire life. When my uncle used to play music all around South Mississippi, Aerosmith was one of his favorites. And we'd get out the old 33s, man, and put on those long play vinyl albums. And I remember growing up with that stuff in the house. So we're going to go back to the beginning, 72. And we're going to go with Dream On. I think it's the greatest Aerosmith song of all time. And there's so many great ones. You know, I could talk about Aerosmith for a long time. I really could. Really, really could. And you know, the song Amazing, I share that with people from time to time. People that are dealing with something, especially people that are dealing with recovery or anxiety. It's one of those songs Desmond Child and Steven Tyler wrote together. And Steven says in the book Walk This Way that he and Desmond Child were talking about recovery. And he said immediately, he says, man, I kept the right ones out, let the wrong ones in. And Steven Tyler said immediately it came to his heart, I had an angel of mercy to see me through all my sin. And they stopped dinner and went to the recording studio, and they wrote amazing. And it is an incredible song. It's very emotional, especially the last minute or so. And I thought they kind of missed it with the video, right? Because that's when Alicia Silverstone was really big, and she was in all these Aerosmith videos. And they kind of put her in that video, and it really was more about the advancements in technology. It wasn't about the core values of that song. So I don't agree with that, even though I was an Alicia Silverstone fan. I guess I still am. But I am an Aerosmith fan, and I hope that you are too. So number one, the Rock of Massachusetts list is Aerosmith. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy on Twitter or X, whatever you're calling it these days, at Dogmatic67, DawgMatic67. You're safe to follow him, okay? He's not going to be tweeting out pictures of his dog or anything like that. It's just usually our list and Mississippi State-related content. You can find our great list on Spotify under that same handle. Of course, you can send them to me, but I don't always see them. It's not anything personal, but we get busy sometimes, right? And social media is an imperfect place. Sometimes you look up and it's like, instead of seeing all replies or all messages, it's most relevant, that kind of stuff. Sometimes Twitter and Facebook decides what I can see and what I can't. And so best bets to hit up Roy, who'll get along to me. Of course, you see me. I have so many of you that come up and say, hey, Steve, I love the top 10 list. And I appreciate that. And there are others who are like, hey, Steve, I fast forward through it. You know, to each their own. I'm just glad you're listening. And thanks so much for your support of the top 10 list. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, I love Campus Bookmart. I love going in there and perusing all of the fine selections that are available there for me, whether it be apparel, whether it be knickknacks, gift items, diploma frames, whatever you need for the Mississippi State Bulldog in your life, you can find a great gift there. Pick up something for yourself, too. Reminder, I will be there at Campus Bookmart from 10 to 1 tomorrow, at Saturday morning. Swing by and get some signed books. If you're going to be buying some gear from Campus Bookmart, chances are you will, you can get books from them too. And the promo code still applies. Any order over $75, promo code BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson, gets you free shipping. Any order over $75, just by listening to the show, we're saving you some money. You're going to be buying Mississippi State gear too. And we encourage you to always buy your Mississippi State gear from a Starkville business because they know what maroon looks like. You trust somebody else out there, you may get a crimson shirt. You don't want to be the Scrooge of Christmas. You want to be the spirit of Christmas. Do something super cool. Give somebody something they'll love. And so, again, whether you're looking to outfit your wardrobe, your fan cave, your automobile, your RV, your pet, you can find something super cool at Campus Bookmart. And when you're in town, go by and see their smiling faces. But other times, if you got to shop online, we encourage you to support a Starkville business. That's Campus Bookmart here in Stark Vegas. Since we have been recording this show, Greg Sankey has issued a memorandum that has made its way into the public. Probably not intended to, but probably a great thing. I think fans of the Southeastern Conference football teams are happy about this. And it involves fake injuries. So I'm going to read you the memorandum and give you a few thoughts about this. And we'll call this the Lane Kiffin rule. To SEC athletic directors, SEC head football coaches, from Greg Sankey, commissioner, RE, feigned injuries. As plainly as it can be stated, stop any and all activity related to faking injuries to create timeouts. They didn't put a comma and write Lane Kiffin's name, but the implication remains. The NCAA football playing rules assign to the national coordinator for football officiating the responsibility for determining if a feigned injury has occurred. The national coordinator is responsible for evaluating video submitted to review to inform his decision on a feigned injury. The language used to explain the national coordinator's decision has been vague and relies on the probability that an attempt was made to feign an injury. Moving forward, I will consider a feigned injury to have been determined when the national coordinator states it is more likely than not that a feigned injury occurred, that a player attempted to feign an injury, or any other general statement from the national coordinator establishing the probability that a feigned injury has occurred. While the national coordinator frequently states that the action of a feigned injury can never be absolutely verified via video, I cannot say with absolute certainty if the player was truly injured. A feigned injury will be found to have occurred unless the national coordinator accepts clear medical information establishing the player had to disrupt the game for an injury timeout and modifies the feigned injury in a timely manner. Underlined, your team should be prepared to compete fairly under the rules of the game. When defending against a, quote, hurry-up offense, you are to use the allocated team timeouts if you need to stop play, or you may allow the play to continue with the personnel and defensive call in place. When on offense, if the play clock is running out, you are to use a timeout or accept a delay of game penalty. Creating injury timeouts in these circumstances is not acceptable and it is disrespectful to the game of college football. When a game stoppage is needed, use a timeout in accordance with NCAA football rule 3.34. This is not a complicated or confusing principle. I agree, Greg. As the football playing rules state, an injured player must be given the benefit of the doubt. We will continue to uphold this expectation. However, the questionable injury circumstances must cease. That's underlined. Since the 2022 football season, competing teams have had the ability to submit video for review by the national coordinator. We have found in some obvious cases that a team will decline to request the national coordinator's review. Moving forward, if a circumstance warrants the national coordinator's review of a possible feigned injury, the play will be submitted from the SEC office to the national coordinator for review. However, there is no expectation the SEC office will review every play that may raise questions about a feigned injury. If the national coordinator determines that a feigned injury has occurred, that is more likely than not that a feigned injury occurred, that a player attempted to feign an injury, or any general statement from the national coordinator establishing the possibility or probability of a feigned injury, I will apply the agreed upon penalties as follows. And there is some meat on this bone. My words, not Greg's. Here are the penalties. For a team's first feigned injury finding, the head coach will receive a public recommend and a financial penalty of $50,000 will be assessed. For a team's second feigned injury finding, the head coach will receive a public reprimand, a financial penalty of $100,000 will be assessed. For a team's third and subsequent feigned injury finding, the head coach will receive a public recommend, and this is highlighted. A team's third finding of a feigned injury will result in suspension of the head coach for the team's next contest. Any other involved staff member will receive a suspension if it is the staff member's third instance of being involved in a feigned injury. If any other staff member is found to have been involved in signaling, encouraging, or directing a feigned injury, that individual will be subject to the same accountability measures presented in this memorandum, including public reprimand, financial penalties, and suspensions. If a student-athlete is cited for a feigned injury, the student-athlete may also be subject to public reprimand. This information must be reviewed with your entire football program to ensure everyone involved understands the established expectations. All instructions, signals, or plans that may exist to create feigned injuries are to be discontinued immediately. As of this date, it is presumed that every member of your football program, coaches, staffs, student athletes, medical staff, and others, is aware and understands this policy. Final comment, play football and stop the feigned injury nonsense. That's about as bold a statement as we can expect to hear from Greg Sankey. And again, I don't know that this made it, was intended to get out publicly, but it did. And I'm glad it did. Now, Ole Miss isn't the only ones doing this. They just happen to be the innovators of it. And it happens all the time. And how many times have you seen, you know, the Ole Miss sideline signal to a player to get down? You know, get down, get down, get down. This has been something that has been kind of a bane in the existence of college football now for a few years. And it is something that has happened with great regularity when Ole Miss is on the field. So, again, that's why we'll jokingly call this the Lane Kiffin rule. And it's long overdue. Long overdue. And how many times have we seen it, you know, when an opponent all of a sudden gets a big first down, then a defensive lineman just mysteriously looks like he got shot by a sniper and just goes down and has to be taken off the field. They stop play, and a play later he returns. You know, I like what we have discussed before. I think a guy that gets injured in those type of situations is out for the remainder of possession. I think that's a good rule, right? Because we're going to err on the side of player safety. You know, if a guy has to go down, we have to stop play, bring out the medical staff. They're not going to make a miraculous recovery in one play. This is not how life works. If it's significant enough to stop play and bring out the training staff, then don't insult everybody's intelligence by saying, okay, he's good to go for the next play. We see what you're doing, Lane. We do. We see what you're doing. We've seen it for years. And finally, the SEC office has stepped up and said, you know what? This has to stop. And so it's interesting. The timing of this, I'm sure, is coincidental. But Ole Miss is about to play a very, very physical football game against the University of Arkansas on the road. And when those things begin to happen, you know, these injuries, these fake injuries, and I'm sure Lane will try to find some way to get around all this. But, it'll be interesting. Here we are, the day before the game. You know, I'm sure they're already packed up and in the air and probably already had some plans in place. You know, hey, if this happens, then you go down. You know, and you saw it this year too, with Jackson Dart even motioning to a player, like pointing to the guy and saying, hey, the sideline, I want you to get down. It's disrespectful to the game. It's disrespectful to the opponent. It's disrespectful to the institution. And I'm glad to see the SEC do something about this. Now that we've got these programs in place and these rules in place, let's enforce the rules. That's what I want to see. I want to see an obvious situation here that we've all known. I want to see penalties. I want to see it. And I believe, too, again, you say you can't fault the player. Well, I think you can. And I'm glad that they're adding some teeth to that side of the argument, too. If a player is faking an injury, then they'll be reprimanded, too, and potentially punished. And so I think what you do now, which makes it even more disgusting, you know, is the fact that it's the staff trying to skirt the rules. And again, we've all seen it, and nobody's oblivious to what's taking place here. But the reality of it is there may actually be some injuries in this Arkansas game. I mean, you always wish that's not the case, but there's going to be some guys that may get a little bit banged up here because that Ole Miss defense and this Arkansas offensive line, I had one of your players tell me recently, the Arkansas line is legit and they're mean. And so Arkansas feels like, hey, we got things turned in the right direction. We got these guys at home. We traditionally beat these guys at home. They're going to be excited and ready to play. And I think there's going to be some big plays in this ball game that maybe catch Ole Miss off kilter. And so they're not going to do what they've ordinarily done. You know, we'll just be good to go, and all of a sudden somebody will go down. And you begin to wonder, too, like many of these players, they have operated under this culture their entire college careers. And so will they just kind of, you know, forget in the heat of the moment? Hey, this is what we normally do. I just go down right here, and then they got to stop the clock, and so the team can't run tempo. Right? You got to wonder. So great on the league for addressing this. Now let's enforce it. And it'll be interesting, too. You know, there was, I guess, Ole Miss released a statement here a couple weeks ago that they had to communicate with the national coordinator of officiating and provide some medical data. And it just kind of came out of nowhere. And people were like, hey, what's this about? Well, it's pretty clear that this has risen above the SEC level to the national coordinator of officials. And they wouldn't be instituting a policy if there was no wrongdoing. Nobody would just say, hey, let's put a rule in here just for the fun of it. And they're putting a rule in there because Ole Miss has flaunted the rules, and they have used the player safety component to try to create a competitive advantage. And it's disgusting. It absolutely is. And it's no surprise. I mean, it isn't. This is something that we've seen coming from some time. And I think now everybody can say, you know what? Hey, good. Good. Good for the league to kind of stand up and have a little bit of integrity with all this stuff. It's a joke, and every time that Ole Miss takes a field, there appears to be one of these miraculous recoveries. You know, somebody just, out of nowhere just falls down on the field. And typically when it's a non-contact injury, you think, oh, this is something more serious. And so basically they've just kind of rubbed this, this player safety thing in the face of everybody else. It's like, hey, your guy's injured. We got to get out there and stop play, And every bit of it has been to find a way to skirt the rules. And now there are new rules, Lane. Now there are new rules specifically designed for you. Yeah, everybody's going to be, subject to these rules, but you are the person, you are the reason for this. Absolutely without any question. You're the reason. And you know it. And it's so interesting to me how so many people kind of, act like, oh, it's not a big deal. Yes, it is a big deal. It is a big deal. When you're on the ropes, you're on the ropes. You burn a timeout. You don't fake an injury. It's unethical. And now it's illegal. Within the rules of football. And I'm glad to see the language from Sankey. It's not just a generalized memorandum. It's like, stop the nonsense, guys. Stop it. And again, it applies to everybody, but you know where this is intended. We all do. We all do. It's been something that we've all joked about among ourselves, right? I remember Brian Haydad had the, he fell, in the middle of a conversation on Super Talk, he fell. And I don't think that Richard cared for it very much. And I think Richard can find a way to get over it. I thought it was hilarious. And I told Brian as much. I thought it was absolutely hilarious. All of a sudden in the middle of the conversation, he just falls. What happened there? Oh, I'm injured. Love it, man. I love it when we can point it back in their face because, it's just like there's so many things. Just like the whole Hugh Freeze stuff, right? Everybody's like, hey, we can't wait to tell our story. Well, I ended up being the one telling the story. Wasn't you. There's a lot of, warmongering with words with them. And it's good to see Ole Miss kind of get some comeuppance. But again, a memorandum is only as good as the paper it's written on unless it's properly enforced. And we certainly hope that's the case. All right, let's thank our friends at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. We're going to be staying there here next month for a few days, just bringing everybody to town, getting all the kids and the grandkids under one roof and having a chance to just kind of spend some time with them, and I absolutely cannot wait. I'm probably more excited about that than I am Christmas and certainly more than Thanksgiving. Looking forward to having all of my kids together, and you can do that too. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. And you can peruse through their Facebook page and see all the amenities available to you and your guests. Let me give you a preview here. The great full-service kitchen. You have the great big back porch area. You got a wet bar if you're so inclined. Got the fire pit outside. 5 bedrooms, 2 baths, plenty of room to spread out. And maybe it's a college roommate weekend. Maybe you've got some time off during the Christmas and you say, hey, let's go stay a couple nights up there and maybe have like a cousin's reunion. Because, listen, let's be honest, the sisters want to shop, man. They do. And so maybe dad and uncle and everybody maybe pitch in the money. Let the ladies get together. Bring the kids. Let the cousins have some time together. And then they can go out and shop around Starkville at some of our great shops here. And probably get you more of the things that you want, right? I'm telling you, I'm going to be in your friend here. Maybe it's a good midweek trip. Whether it's a work trip, a shopping trip, a reunion trip, or a family trip, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse can accommodate you. Now, when you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, you're going to have some booking options that pop up. You're going to have Airbnb and VRBO if that's the route you want to go. But, hey, go ahead. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10, the number 10, and get 10% off your stay. Again, just by listening to the show, you're saving some money. And again, like if it's a work group, I mean, think about how expensive it is to get 5 hotel rooms. It's ridiculous, man. It is. And so you're going to save a lot more money by booking the Stark Vegas Clubhouse more times than not. And that way everybody can have some common work areas, some common eating areas, and everybody can retreat to their own bedrooms at night, and that's a good thing. Yeah, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Okay, I told you guys it may be abbreviated today. We will be. But I got to get out of here. I'm trying to get down to Madison to watch Josiah Clemens and Madison Central play. So got some things I got to do to get out of here. Probably even had the Boneyard article up when I get home. But the reality of it is that we got a game tomorrow that we should win against UMass. This team is not good. Again, both of their wins came against FCS opponents. Our only win came against FCS opponents. And this is a roster, too, that's got about 40 transfers on it. So they've tried to kind of rebuild under Coach Don Brown. It has not gone well. It's his second stint there as the coach. Of course, other time it was FCS. But they will be joining the MAC next year. They're kind of treading water this year. It's tough to schedule when you're not in a conference, because you got 12 games to fill, and you know when you're in a conference, you know, 7 or 8 of them are already filled for you. But can you imagine having to go out there and plan 12 games? That's why you end up with two FCS opponents, because you couldn't find enough FBS teams willing to play you. There's only so many games to go around. And so rather than play as an independent, they'll be part of the MAC next year. I know they're looking forward to that, kind of establishing some regional rivalries and some recruiting footprints in some of those other schools, and that's going to be a great thing. But this Saturday, I look for Mississippi State to go 3-0 against UMass. And I don't think it's going to be a close game. I don't. Now, again, I just want to win the game. I do think State wins and covers. We just want to win the game and get out of here healthy. Simple as that. Win and get out healthy. Listen, we're not going to a bowl game this year, all right, for the second straight year. And that absolutely sucks. I mean, it does. It absolutely just chaps you where it itches, right? I mean, it's just one of those things you look at and think, man, this feels like a pimple in front of a nostril when I got a runny nose. I mean, it just absolutely makes you feel terrible, right? Because we invest so much in all this. But the best we can hope for is 4-7, and that's asking an awful lot, right? Next weekend, we will be in Knoxville, Tennessee. Going to be a busy weekend for your good friend and host. I told you, I'm in Meridian on Wednesday. On Thursday, I'm with College Corner at Mistletoe Marketplace. And then we'll drive to Knoxville on Friday, cover the game on Saturday, drive back overnight, and we'll be at the author event at Book Martin Cafe on Sunday. So very, very busy week. But I'm looking forward to getting back to Knoxville. Then after that, the home game against Missouri. And, you know, who knows what we're going to look like or they're going to look like by the time they get here. They've been a little bit banged up, too. And then, of course, the Egg Bowl the Friday after Thanksgiving. And so we're not going to sit here and expect to win out. The players, however, feel differently. And I'm glad they do, because they're the ones that matter, right? So I think we'll get a dub this weekend, and that'll give us a little bit of a break. You know, we've almost forgotten what that feels like. And we talk about progress, and I agree with Kevin Coleman. You know, progress without wins really doesn't mean a whole lot. We're not here to be moral victors. We're here to win ball games. Nobody showed up at Mississippi State saying, I just want to enjoy the experience. You came here to win games, to do something substantial. We need to, you know, again, show recruits and show our returning players that we've got some juice going into next year. Heading to portal season, there's really not much more important than that except for money, right? And when it gets down to it, there may be guys out there willing to take a little bit less money to go somewhere else because the probability of a bowl game or a conference championship is more prevalent. So, you know, we can't go out here and just go 2-10 and expect to be able to go buy our way out of this. We got to show some evidence on the field. I still believe in Jeff Lebby. I do believe there probably need to be some changes in the offseason. But the reality of it is this, is that we get ready to go play a game tomorrow. And we only get a handful of these at home all year. And so I encourage you, because this is the next to last home football game of the year. You look forward to this all year. And I know the year hadn't gone the way you hoped. But you got two home games left. And it's, hey, it's blue jean and leather jacket weather, you know. You don't have to worry about being overheated, things of that nature. And so I encourage you to come out and be a part of this thing. If you can't make it, let's please get your tickets in the hands of some other Bulldog fans. And listen, you and I both know this. We know people, young families, maybe divorced moms, divorced dads, that maybe can't afford to buy season tickets. Maybe that's just not a possibility right now. And I guarantee you, you know somebody that's got a kid that would love to see Mississippi State play a football game in person, regardless of who the opponent was. And so let me encourage you, if you're not coming, get those tickets in their hands. Maybe you know some kids from church, some kids from the neighborhood, maybe it's a relative. Let's find a way to work together, get a good crowd up here. It's not going to be a great crowd. We know this. But you never know, that young person, that young person that comes to the game, you know, they may end up being a future student athlete at Mississippi State. You know, you may plant some seeds in them that continue to bloom down the road. I mean, how many, think about when you were a kid, how many times you came to a game and you remember everything about it. You remember who made the plays. But more importantly, you remember how it felt to be there to cheer for your team. And sometimes as adults, we take that for granted. It's like, oh, this stuff again? Yes, yes, this stuff again. I'm still a kid at heart when it comes to Mississippi State. There's a part of me that always believes maybe we'll find a way. And by the time we kick off, it doesn't matter who we're playing, I'm thinking, you know what? Maybe if we get a little help from them, make a couple plays in special teams, maybe we got a chance to win this game. There's still a kid in me. And so for those kids, you know, they get up here and get their nachos and get them a soft drink, and they get to watch the Bulldogs play. It's like heaven on earth. I think sometimes we forget that, how special it is to be able to go watch our beloved team play in a sporting event. So whether it's basketball, soccer, baseball, football, volleyball, whatever it may be, when you have the opportunity to turn out and support Mississippi State, let me encourage you to do that. All right, that's going to do it for today. And I'll be back on Monday, hopefully recapping a Bulldog win, talking about a wild weekend in Southeastern Conference play. And you never know, we may be talking about a reprimand over a fake injury. And again, glad to see that. I don't want to beat a dead horse to death, but really, really happy that they've taken some steps here to kind of make this a much better situation. Hey, buy some books. And again, we expect to run out of the first printing of The Dude before Christmas, so don't delay that purchase. Anything ordered through the website is signed. Or you can check me out at one of these book signings. Many of you that live out of state, it's almost impossible to do. We do plan to do some things after the turn of the year before baseball. And, of course, it'll be after Christmas, and I'm sure somebody somewhere is going to disappoint you and buy you something you don't want. You can kind of replace that with a copy of The Dude. And all my sports titles are available at DutyNobleBook.com, along with When the Bottom Falls. And one of the cool things that happens, people send me these pictures, and they'll have all seven books lined up on their bookshelf. That is so incredibly cool. Thank you so much. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.